This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Christine McDaniel, a senior research fellow at Mercatus Center, to help me understand the news about taxes, global taxes. The meeting of the G7 most recently, the G7 counselors, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, the UK, and the US, led to press releases about coming taxes, future taxes, possible taxes for everyone globally. This answers the complaint over many years that certain companies, multinational companies are named as especially at the heart of the story, do not pay taxes in the states, in the countries, in the regions where they do business. So, Christine, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. As I understand it, the agreement now is a work in progress, and it has, to use the old metaphor, three legs of the stool. The first is international taxation. And my brain hurts when I try to summarize that. I'll just say international taxation for probably the largest 100 companies in the world. The second part is a minimum tax on the global income of multinational companies. The third part is the one where that stumps me. This is a digital tax on digital companies. I describe the only thing I could think of when reading the summary of these secretaries of the Treasury or these chancellors of the Exchequer representing the financial aspects of these states, the G7 state, that it's not unlike the Versailles Treaty of 1919. This is my interpretation because I've been reading Margaret Macmillan's story of 1919. Wilson and Clemenceau, particularly, but Lloyd George joined in, had an agreement about what was going to happen after the Versailles Treaty. Wilson took it home. He met the Congress. He was defeated by the Congress, frustrated by the Congress, and that was the end of his campaigning for the Versailles Treaty because of aspects of it. In this particular instance, it was about Article 10 having to do with the League of Nations. However, Janet Yellen is coming home with this. Do we expect similar heated remarks from the U.S. Congress? When I say a work in progress, is this looking for a timeline of many years or within the next year or so? Good day to you, Christine.
Oh, thank you, John. Thank you for having me. Love your show. And it's nice to be here talking to you about this, yes, admittedly, brain-hurting topic. International corporate tax is complicated, but and even some very smart, well-intentioned people can disagree. So there's a lot of room for negotiation on this. But this issue has been around for a long time, and global reform has been a long time coming. What really brought it to a head was one of those legs on the stool that you mentioned, the digital tax. And as more and more countries have begun to announce their plans to impose digital taxes on, namely big U.S. tech giants, then I think it became increasingly clear that we needed to really move quickly on progressing the international tax reform discussion. So the idea is that, this agreement would create a minimum tax on profits that companies earn by selling mainly advertising, but that don't have a physical presence in the country, right? So it doesn't really single out the big U.S. tech giants, but it does apply to what the OECD calls the quote unquote largest and most profitable ones. So yes, Google, Amazon, Facebook, Apple. Google makes a lot of profits on advertising. Amazon profits from e-commerce, Apple from its app store, and then Facebook also from advertising. And so, these companies have really been battling these digital tax plans in those countries you mentioned, John, France, Spain, Italy, the UK. And then the USTR, Ms. Catherine Tai, has threatened sanctions in response to that. She's holding her fire for now, but you can imagine if the U.S. starts to retaliate, then we could see a global trade war that would really make the steel and aluminum and China tariffs look like a cakewalk. So I think everybody wants to avoid that. And then we have this issue, this long time coming widespread recognition of the need for global tax reform anyway. So hence here we are. And remember, you know, in the digital economy, very different from the Versailles Treaty days, anyone, anywhere can be a customer. So if you're buying from Amazon, let's say you're in France, and you're, but you're not buying from a French retailer then. So Amazon makes a profit, but doesn't pay any taxes at all. There's no real estate taxes. There's no, you know, physical store that is paying taxes to the French government. So no money is staying in France. And then you can take that out to the extreme and to kind of wrap your head around this, right? In the extreme case, suppose everybody bought everything on Amazon, right? And then digitally. So that really shrinks countries' tax bases down to just the non-tradables, you know, like healthcare and some other utilities. And, you know, that's just not sustainable. So here, you know, the deal doesn't really throw big tech under the bus, but it would also supersede any local digital taxes. And that's actually a really good thing because it gets rid of this idea of a patchwork of different tax regimes. It could be really messy. And instead, it would create a base rate for everyone to follow.
The three legs of the stool, you identify that the digital tax will be the most complicated and to avoid a trade war, retaliation and retaliation. Does that mean that the minimum tax is acceptable and the international, the largest 100 companies being taxed for their profits in the country, those are acceptable aspects and the digital is the worrisome one?
Well, I don't know if I would characterize it like that. I mean, look, most companies do pay their fair share of taxes, right? And the companies that are acting in ways that are causing this issue to at all are the ones that largely take advantage of legal loopholes in the tax laws, like transfer pricing. So companies that have a lot of intangible assets or do a lot of have a lot of patents or trademarks or trade secrets. A lot of their value is based on digital transactions as well. They can more easily park their profits in low tax jurisdiction, right?
Right.
And so, it's trying to avoid that. You know, that's why when you look at the thresholds that have been bandied about, you get by about 100 companies, give or take. But look, this is a lot. In some ways, it's, you know, Yellen says this is about fairness, right? I mean, you and I, we pay taxes on where we live, but globe-trotting multinational corporations, you know, they can really locate their legal presence in profits, their presence of profits. You know, they can park their profits where they want to. So Cayman Islands, Luxembourg, the places that have been using near zero tax rates to lure companies. And it's worked well for a very small group of people. But, you know, so this idea of a 15% minimum tax would just discourage companies from moving that offshore. It wouldn't necessarily bring everything back to the U.S. or back to France, but it would just try to prevent that extreme behavior of tax avoidance.
If I understand you, Christine, we have about a minute. This conversation between these ministers, this is the beginning of the discovery about how to do this. And what they're seeking to avoid is a trade war. Is that correct? That's what they worry about, trade war and the lack of fairness leading to no enforcement.
Yes. Yes, I think that's fair and a fair way to characterize it. And like I said, I mean, a trade war based on these digital service taxes would really be extremely detrimental to the global economy. And everybody wants to avoid that. Plus, you know, this issue's been a long time coming. So whether, I don't know what the end result will be in terms of it's 15% or, 14 or 16 or 20, I don't know. They're all working that out. But the idea has been bandied about for a long time. And most people agree that, you know, as the economy becomes more global, as more economic activity is in the Ethernet, we do need to tweak our international tax ways.
Senior Research Fellow at the Mercatus Center, Christine McDaniel. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.